the Gospel according to Mark. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. I think that on Tuesday evening, we took up one of the cardinal truths of the Word of God. The burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we mentioned some things about that burial, which were outstanding. Especially when we think of those secret disciples of our blessed Lord who did very little for our Lord in life. There might have been an encouragement to him. One of them might have given him the coin when he asked for it. Do you remember when he had no money to pay the tribute money, he said, show me a coin. Do you remember he sent Simon Peter down to the sea to cast an hook? You see, the sea was his own element. When God made the world, he gave it to man. And he told man to be fruitful and multiply. And we know what has happened. Man has made a very, very poor job of the world. And all that's in the world today is nothing but pollution. Man has caused that. Now, there's a word in the New Testament that says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And it would seem that the very elements are charged with the very demons of hell. Man is not satisfied with his position on earth, so he wants to go into outer space. He has gone to the moon. And what has he done with the moon? He's left a lot of junk up there. And he can't get it off the moon. There are millions and millions and millions of dollars in the moon. Nobody can get it. But the sea, the earth, the air, and the sea. Now, I believe that that is God's element. His way is in the sea. And the sea can no man tame. But our Lord Jesus, when he was here up on earth, he could say, unto the waves, be still. And there was a great calm. And then you remember also that he could go to sleep in a ship. And there was a tremendous storm. The disciples had no reason to be afraid. Why should they? The Lord was in that ship, nothing could happen to them. And he arose and he said, why are you fearful? Why does fear fill your heart? His way is in the sea. And then you remember, he said unto Simon Peter, go down to the sea and cast an hook and bring up a fish. And now I believe that every fish in God's ocean is known by God himself. And I believe that there was only one fish at that particular time that had a coin in its mouth. Now I know what the atheist and the agnostic will tell us today, that they don't believe that story. They believe that pure Simon Peter, a fisherman, he knew how to fish. And he would get down and he would get a fish and he'd go to the fish market. And if it were a grouper, he'd sell it for, I don't know what they go for now, 50 cents. That was the value of it. You're smiling. But he went down and he said, you know, he sold the fish and he brought back the money and of course he gave it to the, no, I don't believe that. I believe that that fish was in the very place where God placed it. Peter cast in the hook, and he brought up the fish. That was his element. Do you remember when our Lord Jesus sent the disciples to the other side, and they were toiling and rowing, and there was a great storm. And he came unto them walking on the sea. That was his element. Now I do know also that the sea is likened unto the wicked. The wicked are like the troubled sea, but our blessed Lord Jesus Christ can still the storm. Now, we were speaking the other night there about the burial of our blessed Lord. Now, this morning, I want you to turn in your Bible to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, about one of the cardinal truths of the Word of God. Verse number 9. Now when Jesus was risen, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. Thrilling, isn't it? The last to leave the scenes of Calvary was a dear woman whose heart was touched, whose life was converted, entirely changed, and she's at the morning when our Lord rose again from amongst the dead. Now that was a brave thing for her to do, because there were quite a number of soldiers, not the most moral in those days. And to see a woman at that time in the morning, braving the elements, and going to the very place where there was a guard against that tomb, because it was sealed. They said his disciples may come and steal his body away. But you see, Mary Magdalene had heard the Master. She had heard that he was going to destroy this tabernacle, or the tabernacle was going to be destroyed, referring to his body. And on the third day, it was going to be resurrected. So Mary Magdalene is at the tomb. The first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Did you notice something? The first day of the week. Now, in those days, the Jewish people celebrated the Sabbath. No work was done. No sticks were gathered to light the fire. It was a day of rest. God made the world in 6 days, and he rested on the 7th day. Now here is the first day of the week. 1 week has been completed, and another week has started. This is the first day of the week. This is the 8th day. It's a new week. It's a new beginning of a week. And the 8th day is always associated with our blessed and wonderful Lord, because he arose on the first day of the week. That's the reason why we were gathered here this morning, beloved. This is the first day of another week. 7 days have passed, and this is the first day. This is the Lord's Day. And we gathered here this morning, and our first act was to worship our blessed Lord Jesus Christ on the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene, she is at the garden tomb. And she went and she told them that had been, now, Aunt Mary, she went out at her, and he cast 7 demons out of her, and she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive because our Lord appeared unto Mary Magdalene. You see, what had happened on this occasion, she asked the gardener, as she thought him to be, where he had been laid, because the stone had been rolled away and the grave was empty. Could I suggest to you that the stone was not rolled away to allow the Lord to come out? The stone was rolled away to reveal that the tomb was empty, and it was Mary Magdalene, the first to have contact with our Lord. She spoke to the one that she felt was a gardener, and she says, tell me where you have laid him. And she didn't recognize, or she underestimated her own strength, and she says, I'll take him away. He only spoke one word to her, and that was the word Mary. Now notice. Verse number 10, she went, and she told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, and as they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared in another form unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, as the time is going, let me suggest to you that it is a well-known fact in the Word of God that our Lord Jesus Christ, he bears a threefold office as shepherd. He's the good shepherd in John chapter 10. He said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We read of him also, beloved, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20, now, the God of peace that brought again our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, he is recognized as the great shepherd. By turning in our Bibles to the epistle, the first epistle of Peter, I think it's chapter 5, if I'm not mistaken, you'll read words like these, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye also shall appear in glory with him. He bears, as I have already said, a threefold office as shepherd. The great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. Now, when we turn to the book of Psalms, we have a triology, if you would call it such. Psalm number 22. You have the good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. It's impossible to read the 22nd Psalm without shedding a tear as we think of the sufferings of the good shepherd. In the Old Testament scriptures, It is always the shepherd bringing a lamb and offering the lamb in sacrifice for his sins and for the sins of the people. It's always the sheep giving his life for the shepherd. The question is always, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb or a ram. When we come to the New Testament, we find the forerunner of our blessed Lord. What did he say when he saw the Master? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And what did he say in John chapter 10? I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. When we come to Psalm number 23, and I think we have all thrilled as we have read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. He is the great shepherd of the sheep, and he constantly watches over us every day that we live. When we come to Psalm number 24, and what a word we have in Psalm 24, when we think of that one who is going to come, and he's going to reign from the river unto the end of the earth, when the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, he's going to be the chief shepherd. When he shall appear, we also shall receive a crown of life that fadeth not away. Now, on the day that our Lord Jesus rose again from amongst the dead, I suggest to you that he made at least 5 different appearances unto his own. Now, I don't say that after he rose again from amongst the dead, that he only made 5 appearances. No. I think that I could prove to you from the reading of the scriptures that he showed himself at least on 7 or 8 different occasions. But I'm speaking of the day that he rose again from amongst the dead. He made 5 different appearances unto his own. As the good shepherd, he died for me yesterday. As the great shepherd, he lives for me today. And we have a good shepherd in glory. And thank God, he lives for us. And that's the reason why we take comfort in that word. When we say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And every one of us have experienced the presence of the good shepherd in our lives. But in Psalm 24, and also as we have been reading in 1 Peter chapter 5, he is the chief shepherd, the one who is going to come. And I believe that the next great event in the history of the world is the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see him on the day that he rose again from amongst the dead as the great shepherd of the sheep. It was on this wonderful day that we see him rounding up a number of his own that were cast down and discouraged. They were terrified. They were affrighted. They had trusted that it was he that was going to redeem Israel. They believed that he was going to come and he was going to establish his kingdom upon earth. That's what the Emmaus couple felt when he asked them the question, when he joined himself to them. What manner of conversations are these that you have the one with the other and are sad? They felt that he was going to establish his kingdom. Now, evidently, on those five different occasions that our Lord appeared unto his own, it was the day that he rose again from amongst the dead, and those appearances culminated in the meeting with the disciples as they are gathered together, the doors being shut, and our Lord revealed himself to them all. Now, there were only 11 present. I believe, perhaps there were 10, Judas Iscariot had gone out and killed himself. Thomas, well, doubting Thomas. I'm not going tonight. I just know what their conversation will be. The same kind of a meeting. I don't think I'll go. That often happens, doesn't it? Uncle Ben will be there tonight. Maybe Mr. Thompson, he'll be there tonight. I don't think I'll go. Why, what a lot Thomas missed on that occasion. As our Lord revealed himself to his own. And he showed unto them his hands and his feet. It caused a revival amongst the disciples. And I think perhaps when they saw Thomas, you weren't there last night, Thomas, you missed it. You missed it last night, Thomas. You should have been there. What did I miss? You missed the presence of the Lord. I don't believe it. Except I see the print of the hand, except I put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Ah, Thomas, you missed it. We saw the Lord, and he said, all hail. Now look. The first one that he appeared to was Mary Magdalene. And she needed him as the great shepherd of the sheep. Many a time those eyes were red with weeping. When I think of this woman who was a victim of Satan's power, and she experienced conversion in her life, her life was completely changed. And all that meant anything to her after conversion was the Lord himself. I remember those days, do you? When God saved you perhaps at some evangelistic crusade. Perhaps it was on a Lord's Day evening. The next morning you got the Bible propped against the sugar bowl as you're eating your cereal. And you couldn't get enough of the Word of God. You wouldn't miss a meeting. Ah, the prayer meeting was a delight. As the brethren gathered together to pray and made their petitions known unto the Lord, my conversion was wonderful. And you spoke to people about the Lord, and you told them how that God saved you. It was a tremendous change in your life. Tell me, have you ever led a soul to Jesus? Have you ever pointed someone to the Lord Jesus? Do you know what will happen? And I speak to young people. You'll get a real revival in your heart. And I'll tell you, if you get one soul to Christ, you won't stop until you get another. And when you get 10 or 12 to the Lord, and you begin to teach them the truth of God, your heart will be thrilled. And you'll go into the Word of God, and God will teach you from His Holy Scriptures. Here is Mary Magdalene. Her life was changed. But I believe that Mary Magdalene was a woman of tears. She was a woman of sorrow. And she needed the good shepherd of the sheep. She needed the great shepherd. And I believe that it's that way even today. I believe that there are many lonely sheep, God's sheep. They have passed through a trial, a difficulty, a circumstance, the loss of a loved one, a husband, a wife, a child. It was thrilling to get those calms from the believers. And a word of encouragement or a bit of poetry. But you know, it didn't last very long. Earthly friends will fade and leave us. One day sue, the next day grieve us. But you found that there was a great shepherd. One that you could go to in all of your trial, in all of your difficulties. And you found that he would comfort and console your heart. And there is nothing like the comfort and consolation of the Holy Scripture. You know, Mary Magdalene, she needed our Lord as the comforting shepherd. And he's a great shepherd today. The next meeting, of course, was the women of Galilee. They came to bring the spices to anoint the body of our Lord, and the Lord appeared unto them, and he said unto them, go and tell my disciples to meet me at Galilee. You remember that? How thrilled they were. They ran. But they didn't anoint the body of our Lord. That was already done, as we saw the other night. It was done by Joseph of Arimathea and a Nicodemus. But now the women are sent, not the brethren, but the women are sent. And they are sent with a message that there is one who's going to be there before them, and he is going to be their great leader, and he's going to go before them. Then perhaps during the afternoon, our Lord appears once again. He has to have a private conversation with a disciple who denied him. His name was Peter, and he denied the Lord with oaths and with curses. Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Did he need the great shepherd of the sheep? Of course he did. He denied the Lord on three different occasions. And our Lord called him to the one side. Isn't that nice? Sometimes we would like to reprimand our brethren before the entire assembly. Our Lord didn't do that. He called Peter to the one side on the day that he rose again from amongst the dead. He said, Peter, tell me, do you love me? Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Well, you better feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Well, he said, you feed my lambs. Tell me, Peter, do you really love me? Oh, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest the inner recesses of my heart. Well, he said, you better feed my sheep. He appeared unto Peter. Peter needed him as the great shepherd. Perhaps a little later on in the evening, there were two disciples that wended their way from Emmaus to Calvary, a distance of about 7 miles. On their way home, they're conversing the one to the other. Our Lord joined himself unto them. He said, what manner of conversations are these that you have the one with the other and are sad? And he began, and he opened unto them in all the scriptures things concerning himself, and he would have gone farther. Abide with us, for it's toward even. And he went in, and he was made known unto them in the breaking of the bread. You know what happened? After walking from Emmaus to Calvary 7 miles, 7 miles back to Emmaus again, they arose at the same hour of the night, and they ran into the city to tell the disciples that they had seen our Lord Jesus Christ. Later on, of course, we know that he appeared unto the company as they were all gathered together. Now, let me suggest to you what we have. He appeared unto Mary Magdalene as a comforter. And the great shepherd of the sheep is the one that comforts and consoles his people today. He appeared unto the women that brought the spices as the one who was going to lead his people, and thank God, we can follow in his footsteps. He's the one that leads us every step of the way. But unto a Simon Peter, Peter needed him as an advocate. And thank God we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, so that if any man sin, he's at the right hand of God and he pleads our cause. And as the great shepherd of the sheep, he is an advocate. And then, we also find him as the one who would instruct the believers. The Emmaus couple, he's a great high priest. He went before them. He taught them in all the scriptures things concerning himself. And then I think also, a little later in the afternoon or the evening, he met as the great shepherd with his sheep as the believers were gathered together thinking of our Lord. Thank God we experienced his presence this morning as we gathered before him. I've gone over the time and you'll forgive me. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank thee for these wonderful appearances of our blessed Lord when he rose again from amongst the dead. And we thank thee, our Father, he's a comforter, he's an advocate, he's the one that leads us into all truth. We thank thee he's our great high priest, and we thank thee he's the center of our gathering. Grant that we might live in view of that day when he shall come again. In the name of the Lord, the Lord.